I mentioned studying on this back in, I guess, early spring, late winter, and it didn't seem like as much interest in it, and I've not been able to get away from it, so I can't help it if there's no interest in today. It may take a couple of Sundays to get through this,
Amen.
But I believe it's important. It seems to be some confusion about it today, and I may be the one that's most confused about it. But I've heard a lot of statements made lately from people that I have a lot of confidence in. And I thought maybe I needed to change the way I've saw this for years. But I can't help from wondering, there's brethren I've had confidence in that I've heard say these things ever since I was a little boy, that I trust that they knew what they was talking about. And so I hope today that we can have a little bit more understanding about the heart. If you look up a definition of things, most of the time you have a... Yes. If you look up a... This here is the Webster's definition, 1828. And you can take that with a grain of salt. I like Webster's. I love Strong's. There's a lot. But most definitions, if you look up a definition of word, you'll have a paragraph. You'll get your definition. This is your definition of heart. Anybody wants to look at it afterwards, it's 2.5 pages. And I hear people make statements all the time about the heart and like they know all about it. I got news for you. You probably don't know as much as you think you do, and I don't neither. So be real careful about the heart. It starts off with a definition that it's a valve and it's pumps. But it seems like the more confusion today, we're told a lot. We don't need to tell people. And there's some here that say it, and I'm not trying to hurt nobody. Please, I want to understand. We tell people, I hear say all the time, don't follow your heart. And I've heard that all my life. And I even got to the point I had so much confidence in these brethren saying it, I tried to quit saying it. But listen, I believe there can be a change of the heart. I believe that. I believe there can be a wicked heart, and I believe there can be a righteous heart. And now listen, I'm not saying everything a saved person says is right. You can get up and say things in a service of the Lord and kill the service if God ain't in it. So when we say follow that's in your heart, anything on your heart, these preachers I hear say this, I hear them say, this is what I have on my heart, you know. And I'm thinking, well, you're telling us now, and I don't know what to do anymore. So, if it's of God, it is right. If what's on your heart is of God, it's right. If it's of you, if it's of the flesh, it'll never be right. But everything that comes, and I mean from the heart, of the soul of man, if you've been saved, is right. And I'm going to prove that to you.
Amen.
And it's going to take a couple Sundays. But everything, I mean everything, if it comes from there, it's right, because he is what's there. And he's never been wrong.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says. So when I say follow your heart, I'm talking about following that part that's within what he has saved, what he's changing. I'm not saying follow your mind.
Amen.
I'm not even saying follow the flesh.
Amen.
I'm saying follow God.
Amen.
So y'all pray for us today that I don't want to make this no more confusing. I guess what really bothered me, I heard a young brother just here a while back, and I don't nobody think, I do not believe rendering evil for evil.
Amen.
I do not believe in that, and I'll never do it. I will not. But I do believe that we need to love and correct at times. But I heard a young brother say the other day, people that say follow your heart, basically said they're ignorant. They don't know no better. They don't know what they're saying. And that's where, and that won't help nobody. When you say something like that publicly, you're going to do damage. Even if that statement was true, you take somebody that stood up here for 50 years and made that statement and worked for God all of his life. And I know some of them men. And then you get up, you've been preaching 3 or 4 years, pastoring your first church, and you make that kind of statement, and you expect to win that man over. You'll never win nobody over by calling them ignorant. Never. Never. So that's not, I'm not trying to make somebody feel bad about what maybe they say something. I'm trying to make us see the truth and everything. We can't take one or two scriptures out of the Bible and run with it. That's what the religious world does. We take the Bible and back up what we believe. The whole Bible, the whole truth. And if we can't do that, we need to quit believing it. Because it'll back it up. I'm going to read a portion of this definition, and this portion of it probably is why we get caught up in it. There's a verse or two in Jeremiah I probably won't read today, but the heart is deceitful above all things. Every imagining of the thoughts of the heart is evil continually. We read of an honest and good heart and an evil heart, an unbelief, a willing heart, a heavy heart, a sore heart, a proud heart, a pure heart, the heart that faints in adversary, discouragement, that is courage fails, the heart that is deceived, enlarged, or reproved, or lifted up, affixed, established, moved, and etc. There's 2.5 pages. I've never seen a definition like this. So me or nobody else understands the heart completely. God does. He's the one who understands the heart. But my prayer is today to show that there is a wicked and there is a righteous heart. There's men, I believe, and before the 2 weeks is over, we can show that there's a change of heart. And I believe there can be, because there's a change in the soul of man. And if there's not a change, you've never been born again. So I want everybody to understand this right up front, that nobody is saved by works. And we got to believe that. I believe after you're saved, you will have some good works. But I believe your soul will have complete good works. And there's nothing evil will come from it. And that's where we get confused. Why? 10th chapter of Psalms. Y'all want to get read. We're going to read about a wicked heart. To start, and our thought is going to be the heart desire. And so heart's desire. And that'll be our thought. And I pray today their heart's desire would be able to help somebody and help me, because I've been confused in this. I ain't going to lie to you. I tried my best to quit saying something I said for years and heard for years, because I love some men I heard say that we don't need to say it. It's went to bed with me. I can't get away from it. This has been going on for months, and I've had a hard time, and I've got to deal with it, and I pray that you'll love me today just as much today as you did yesterday. Because it's got nothing to do with trying to reprove anybody. Because I do believe what the Word says about a man's thoughts and of his heart. But I believe there can be a change. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in the times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. I'm going to do a lot of reading today. I don't normally do, but I'm going to. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and he blesseth the covenants of whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. His judgments are far above, out of the sight, as far as all his enemies. And he puffeth that up at them. And he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit, fraud, and is under his tongue, and mischief and vanity. He setteth and lurking places of the villages, and in the secret places doeth he murder the innocent. His eyes is privily set against the poor. He lieth await in secret as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doeth catch the poor, and when he draweth him into his net, and he crocheth and humbleth himself, and that the poor may fall by his strong ones. And he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hateth his face, and he will never see it. And arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doeth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou hast beholdest mischief and spite, and quit it with thy hand. The poor communeth herself unto thee, committeth thyself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked, and the evil man seek out its wickedness and fill till thou find none. The Lord is the King forever and ever, and the heathen are perished out of his land. The Lord that has heard the desire of the humble will prepare their heart, that will cause their ear to hear. The judge of the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more more oppress. And with the mistakes we made reading, that's reading all the 10th chapter, and you find in the third verse there, it said the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. And then there's different times. In the 6th verse, he said in his heart, the wicked did, I shall not be moved. And in the 11th verse, it said, and I have God said, and he has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. In the 13th verse, he said, he has said in his heart, that will not require it. So over and over, the wicked says in his heart things that are ungodly, that are just absolutely not true. And I believe that just the way it's read, I believe the wicked, there's nothing in a soul of a wicked man that's dead to God. There's nothing he can do that will be good in the sight of God. Only thing a lost person can do, and that's what the wicked is. You may not want to hear that today if you're lost, but you're wicked today in the sight of God. You may say, I've not done that many wicked things. Listen to me. You ain't done nothing good in the sight of God. Until you're born again, there's nothing good you can do in his sight. So the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. So listen, I believe what we can show, and we're going to be able to prove before this day's over, but surely before 2 weeks is over, there's two different kinds of hearts. And I believe there's all kinds of different places where the heart is used, you can use for different things. I believe that. But I also believe there is a heart that's been changed by God. A heart that was dead, that's been made alive again. One that's been took took out that was of stone and made a living heart. I believe when David said, my heart is fixed, he meant his heart was fixed. It had been changed. So I believe that. And so we want to go over here and we're going to try to read in Romans chapter 10. And we want to talk a little bit about Paul's heart's desire. I believe there's two different kinds of desires here. When you're an unsaved man or unsaved person, man, woman, or child, listen to me, your desires is not where they need to be. But when God changes you and he makes you a new creature in Christ, there's something within you, what deep down within you has a desire. And that's to see other people saved. And there's nothing wrong with that desire. Paul said in the 10th chapter of Romans, now I want you to pay attention to the heart every time it's mentioned. Now, earlier what we talked about, a wicked heart, he was talking about God ain't going to hear. God ain't going to do nothing. He's not paying no attention to what's going on. He was talking about the wicked heart's desire. I want you to pay attention to this 10th chapter of Romans about what it says about the heart. And then we're going to try to get to what we're going to try to preach on. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God as for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What did we talk about this morning, to come into the knowledge of Christ? I want to tell you, it don't matter how much zeal you've got. You ain't ever come to the knowledge of Christ. Honey, you ain't been saved. You ain't been born again. But listen, he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone that believeth. For more describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth it, those things shall live by them. So what, if you're going to say you've been saved by the law, you've got to keep it from the time you was born on, and you still can't do it because you was conceived in sin. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is the thing that Christ is down from above, or shall descend from the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead, but saith it, that the word is thy, even to thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thy heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does it say there? It clearly says, what's it talking about that's going to get saved? Your heart or your soul of man? Listen, when it's talking about the heart here, it's talking about your soul. It's saying, if you'll believe, I'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. And he said, within a heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth a confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all, and call upon him. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report. So I'm going to stop reading right there. But we find here where the heart is talking about the soul of man. We find here that Paul's heart's desire that Israel might be saved. And I believe that should be our heart's desire. You say, well, we still ain't separated. And listen, it's going to take a couple of weeks. But I'm going to... When I first started studying on this, these was the first scriptures come to me. Because it goes back way back towards the beginning. I want to go back and read to you about Noah. And I want to read to you about how the condition things got in. And listen, I believe we're in those conditions today. But it says in the 6th chapter of Genesis, and then I'm going to go and read a little bit more out of Luke, and that'll probably be as far as we'll get with it today. I want to make sure we cover this. I was going to try to do it up till last night all today, and I could probably crammed it in 30 minutes, but that's what I try to do every Sunday. I try my best to get up and get done as fast as I can. Where a lot of preachers are looking the next place to go, I'm looking for the next place to quit. I want to make my point and get done, because that's what they remember. They remember the poet. They won't remember me babbling on and on, but they'll remember the poet, and I want you to remember this. I want this to get down and sink down and you understand a little bit about it. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God and the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them a wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. Then the same become mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So listen, we find here that God saw that every imagination, this is one of the places where this comes from, that and every thought that a man had was evil. And I believe it just like it says, but I believe these was all wicked men. Every one of them was unsaved men. Listen, but it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, that it grieved him at his heart. And so God himself has a heart. And so every heart is not evil. Listen to me. And listen, when we say that, it's wrong. Every heart is not evil. And every thought of the heart is not evil. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. That means everything. But we're fixing to change gears here. There's a big word coming up in this next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What was the difference between Noah and the rest of mankind? It was his heart. It was grace. That's the difference. It's God. He had been saved. But Noah, all the rest of mankind that we find, I don't know when his family got saved. I don't know it was after this point, why Noah preached, but right then it said Noah. It didn't say Noah and his family found grace in the sight of God. It said Noah. But Noah. So he wasn't the same as everybody else. There was a change. There was a difference in Noah and the rest of mankind. It had to be, or he would have destroyed Noah with the rest of mankind. He didn't destroy Noah because he was one of his. He had found grace. That's the difference in a man's heart. I'm fixing to go read you some stuff that I've told y'all before, I had hard times with it for years. I'm just telling you the truth. And if you'll be honest, if I read it to you, and just read it to you and you hear it, you ought to have a hard time with it too. But it's the truth. There's a change in a man, and that's the part about you is not wicked. That's the part about you that can't sin. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. Not even the devil himself. There's nothing we can do. But what I want to read to you, in Luke chapter 7, when I first started preaching, I mean first, I hadn't preached but one or two sermons. I preached on these verses, and I didn't understand them then. And I'm telling you, I'm not getting up here and telling you I know everything about the heart. I don't. But nowhere do you. And what I'm trying to tell you is be careful about how you tell people stuff, because it can be confusing. Luke chapter 7, the 43rd verse. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither do a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a brambling bush do gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now it said, a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For a thorn men do not gather figs, nor they bramble bush, they gather the grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. A evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, I'm going to ask you. Samantha, and I'm not picking on you. Since you were saved, have you ever done anything that would you consider evil? That's not possible. That's what it just said. But you know it is, don't you? That's the reason I had such a hard time with it. Hey, I'm a good fruit. How is this? I've been saved, Cody. Have you? How did I do and say some of the things I've done? It said it couldn't. But then it went on and said, a evil tree can't do nothing good. It can't bring nothing good. How can that be? I've known good morally people that, as far as I know, they're not saved. They tell you, I know one man to absolutely tell you, he don't believe in God, but he morally is as good a man I've ever seen, done a lot of good things. But in God's eyes, he's never done one good thing.
Amen.
What's it talking about? It's saying the good treasure of his heart, what he's talking about in your heart, that part is what's saved. It can't do no evil, right?
Amen.
It'll never bring forth no bad fruit. Never. Never. It'll never do one evil thing. And when it says from abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I believe if you've truly been saved, over there when it talked about the wicked earlier when we read in the 10th chapter of Psalms, what did it say come from his mouth? Lies. All kinds of things. And God saw it as lies. Listen, but if you're following the good treasure of your heart, there's nothing going to come out that's evil. So when you hear somebody get up and say they're following God, and then they say something plumb contrary to God, they might be following the wrong spirit. Don't blame it on God. So anything that comes from that part there, the soul, it's going to be righteous. It's all going to be good. That's how Noah, God saw Noah different than he did everybody else. It wasn't Noah was that righteous of a feller. You might believe that if you want to. Right after the ark landed, he started a vineyard and got drunk and laid around naked. So you can believe that if you want to. But it was what was about him was his soul. That's what was had found grace in the sight of God.
Amen.
That's the difference. So I don't know about y'all, but I had a hard time with that for a long time. How did I do all these things that the Bible says that I couldn't do them if I'd been saved? The flesh can do them, but the good treasure of your heart will not do them.
Amen.
It can't do them. And I hope next week we can get into more to do with all that kind of stuff. I hope today nobody's been offended. I hope today nobody's mad. We've had different ones get up and walk out. I hope it's because they had somewhere to go. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to understand it better. And I pray that you'll try to understand it better. And I pray, I ain't no way I'd get up here and say, you're saying these things out of not knowing better. It's no way I'd say that.
Amen.
All I'm asking you is don't say that about me. Because, and don't say it, more importantly, don't say it about these brethren that stood and said it for years and years. And they've studied the Word of God. And we need to be careful. We never want to hurt nobody's feelings. And that's not what this is about today. But we can say things that hurt people's feelings. So when I say follow that, anything on your heart, what I'm saying is there anything of God on your heart?
Yes, that's right.
And if it ain't of God, leave it off.
Amen.
But if it's of God, we need it. We need it and we need it bad. Because everything of Him is righteous. And if He gives you something and lays it upon your heart, that's upon your soul. That's the fruit, the tree that can't bring forth evil
Amen.
Fruit. And I'm thankful for that. I hope this ain't been too confusing. And I pray before next week's over, we can. I pray I know. I'm telling you, people, this has kept me awake. You may say, "Well, this is just silly. This is just plumb silly." Wouldn't be silly to you if you want it to. But when I say something from the pulpit, it's important to me.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, this has went to bed with me. Because I know I've said it over and over and over, and I'm thinking, Lord, if I've been wrong about this, please reprove me, rebuke me, break me down to where I understand and let me change. Because I don't care. I want the truth.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. I just want the truth. But no matter how little it may seem to you or how big it may seem, when I'm standing behind this book board, everything I say, I want it to be for the honor and glory of my God and not me. Never, ever. So it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's just about the truth. And then we may speak the truth. If anybody wants to look this over, and I'll print off all of them you need, if I can afford to eat, and I believe I can, I'll print off all of them we need. Here's your definition of heart. There you go. The next time you look up a definition, I want you to think about this. Instead of saying a paragraph, that's what you'll see when it comes to this. So when I stand up here and tell you I know all about the heart, you can say, Brother Jeff, you probably don't know as much as you think. But when you say it, I'm probably going to tell you, Brother, I love you, but you don't know about it as much about it as you think. So it's a big subject.
Amen.
You know why it's big? That part of us is God. That part of us, Marty said it this morning, how something as little as us something as big as God could come and be in us. And that's the truth. That part is God. And it can't do no wrong. Y'all don't have to believe that if you want to. I believe it.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, then you better be repenting, because more than likely you've done lost something you thought you had, eternal. But I've got more confidence in your salvation than you do. Because that part, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It can't sin. It can't do no wrong. That's my thought. I pray nobody gets too upset with me. And if you don't love me as much after today, then pray for me. Pray for me that I'll get to the point that people can love me. Because I promise you, this is what the man will be for at least 6 to 7 months. And you'd ask my wife. She's got tired of me talking about it because I want to be right. I want to be right. That's all I want. It don't matter to me how things are. I just want to be right. When it ain't the truth, I want to fix it. If it is the truth, I want to fix it. I just want us to have the truth, and I want us to be right the best we can. That's my thought.